Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to another CB and the Boys. I am CB, your hostess with the mostest, and have we got a show for you tonight. So without further ado, George, roll that beautiful bean footage.
All right. Welcome to CB and the Boys with Crystal, CB Booker, George, Michael Boy, Holmes, Roger Hawkins, and Mimi Acosta. Coming live and direct to YouTube, Facebook, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts. Bring you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from CB and the Boys.
Hey, 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 everyone, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I'm CB, and we got the whole crew in the building. Well, minus Roger. Hey, Mimi, what is up tonight? How are you?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. George, what's up?
Well, Rock.
Not much. Right out in bush and tail. Ready to do the dang thing.
All right, all right.
Hi, everyone.
All right, everybody. If you're just now joining us, don't forget to like us and subscribe on our YouTube channel, also on Facebook. So hello, hello, hello to everyone on Facebook. Hello, hello, hello to everyone on YouTube. And hello to everyone on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere in between, and Blog Talk Radio. So everybody, hello, hello, hello. We are here. And welcome, welcome, welcome. We've got a great show for you tonight, as we do every Wednesday, for your midweek motivation, offering you music, conversation, laughter, and motivation, and a whole lot of fun. So that's what you're going to get tonight. We're going to get her done. So without further ado, Mimi, what are you sipping on?
Hold on, hold on. First of all, my brother is not in the building yet. And he's my number one hater. So I need him here. I don't know where you at, Roger, but you need to get on, get on, get on. He said he's on his way. So hopefully he'll get here before I finish my little drink special because, you know, he always coming. He's going to bring something and always try to outdo me. So this is my time to talk some shit while he's not here yet. But I know he's going to come in swinging. So I'm going to just let it happen because he's always listening to me. For whatever reason, he'll come in late. But he done listened to all the smack I done talked. So, anywho, I'm going to move it forward. Tonight, I don't know if you guys heard of this, but this is one of those bottles that I sneaked, right? So this is called the Glenlivet by George Smith. Whiskey? Okay, so, George, I don't know if you know about this, and you should, because you know about all this kind of stuff. But anyway, I'm sneaking it. And, of course, you guys know I'm definitely having this with some Coke. And it always looks like this. You guys already know. I got my glass. I got my eyes. I got my red straw. So that is how I'm doing it. And it is so good. But like I said, I got to sneak it because somebody don't know that I'm dipping into their dip. But it's amazing. So, sister, what are you sipping on?
Nothing.
Okay. You know what? We got to get better at this. First of all,
I'm already
struggling on Wednesdays. And then, that's right. Okay. You know what? We got to talk about that. That's right. Okay. You're right. So you got to pass. So this is how I handled that. Because when I was going through my couple of weeks of I'm going to therapy and all that, I just didn't take my medicine on Wednesdays. That's just it.
Okay.
I didn't take my medicine on Wednesday so I could do what I got to do and then get back to the ball rolling upon sunlight the following day. So that is it. Hey, Jeanette, that's my girl. What's up, baby? Loving it. Yay. So, anywho, look, Danette, I don't know what you're drinking, but you better come on and say something, girlfriend. Join me tonight. Join me tonight, even if it's just for a little bit. Because Danette is all the way down on the island somewhere doing her thing. So join me. And see, Roger's not here yet, but it's all good. George, I know you got something over there. Let's go. Bring it.
Well, I'm with you on the coke.
Okay, okay. Okay. There's something else behind that. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm drinking it with a water back.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing tonight.
Unfortunately,
I didn't make it.
I
didn't make it.
That's all good. That's all good. I could be by myself tonight. So there's a lot for us to talk about, and I don't know if CD, you wanted to jump into anything before I jump into my 411. So just let me know if I got permission to roll.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so there's a lot of little things that I want to talk about.
Trey.
And one of them, Trey, hey, you have a coconut smile. Yes, baby, we having it. I'm definitely smiling. Yeah. So check this out, guys, because this is really crazy. So Young Jock, and we all know who Young Jock is. Young Jock accidentally sent $1,800 to the wrong person via Zelle. Would you return it?
No.
Why? And why not? Why not?
Because it's his mistake, not mine, and his problem, not mine.
Please, sir. George. George, run with it. Would you return it?
I would be tempted not to, but I probably would.
Yeah.
I would expect them to send me something back for returning it.
Exactly, because
you know give me
like
a kick down, because I could have kept it and just been, you know, like I don't know where, I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, because apparently the person that you sent it to even deleted, like they went as far as like deleting and blocking him and all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're sending it through Zelle, you have somebody's name. It asks you to verify that you are sending this money to this person. So if you're like, you know, but you know what happens, celebrity, right? So he's probably all preoccupied sending somebody money, thinking, you know, you got it, and all of a sudden, oh, shit, yo, I didn't get the money. What do you mean I sent it? You go back, it's the wrong person. Person done blocked him. They don't want to have nothing to do with him. They're not even responding. So what does he do? He puts their whole post up blast with the phone number and everything. But what you doing that for? You were the one that made the mistake.
Yeah, that's
right,
taking
right.
that to the extreme.
Yeah,
right.
And all
that's
I
right.
need because
see,
probably,
it,
I probably go. Would return it because I'm an honest person, but I wouldn't want to. And I would I would use it to my advantage.
Yeah.
He'll be our guest.
Yeah.
He'll be on the
yeah.
cruise.
Yeah,
exactly.
I am. Yeah,
he'll be our spot.
I'm the same way. I would really be really tempted to keep it, but I'm more than likely I would return it, you know, because it was a person sending it to a person. Now, I was in a situation where I went to the bank, and this was years ago. This was like 20, 25, maybe even 30 years ago. But I'll never forget it. I drove up to the bank drive-thru, deposited $40. They forgot to put the decimal point in, and they deposited $4,000. When he handed my deposit slip, back, I looked at it and went, wait a minute. I drove out the drive-thru and drove right around the front and withdrew all the money out the building, out the bank. Just took it all out right then, and because it was cash, so I just came right around, went right to the counter and took it all out. Got in my car and went on by my merry way. About 3 days later, About 3 days later, I get a phone call from the bank telling me that they made their teller made a mistake and they need me to turn that money back, send that money back to them. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. They're like, well, we know you got the money, so your only options are you need to either turn it back in or you need to turn it back in or we're going to close your account. Let's see. $4,000, and my account's got $1.75 in it now because I took it all out. Okay. When? Can you say when? When? Big W, when? Yeah. I kept it.
Oh,
I kept it. That was my last trip to that bank. I was like, man, there's 1,000 banks out here. They made their mistake. Hey, Mom, I don't know what you're talking about.
And they never put that in notes and try to mess up your credit or none of that stuff?
No, they can't do anything about it. It's a mistake they made.
Yeah, I know that teller either lost
their
job or that's a heck of a...
Probably. They're insured against them kind of mistakes. But they made a mistake. So, yeah, and that the teller probably lost their job. I don't know. I just stick around to find out.
Well,
but I see somebody in the waiting room.
Ew, who's that?
I see somebody in the waiting room. Mr. Hawkins is getting prepared in the waiting room.
Get him up in here. We need to snatch him and see what the hell he's drinking. He better show up with a drink since he's late.
He just wanted to, he wanted to show up faster. I'm going to bring him up on the panel. Yeah.
He's not ready. And can he hear us yet?
That's because we have this putting in on a laptop. Here we go. He's on.
Yeah.
What's up, Ron?
You know, he already know that that we talking shit.
Yeah. Y'all are. That's all y'all do well.
Of course he knows we are. You hear everything.
I expect no different.
What's up,
hey, man, I hear George talking felonious tales.
That's okay. Get up in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
you know,
I am willing
we were talking about the young jock experience, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I had a really important one today, kids. So,
hey, that's all good. That sounds good to me.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you like this: I love each and every one of y'all, but when you're talking to a future billionaire, you don't get off the phone.
No,
especially one of color, 100%. So, like I said,
that part.
That's
all good.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know me, I share the wealth anyway.
Okay, so check this out. While you are coming in, let's talk about this a little bit because I just talked about it, everybody else talked about it, and I want to get your input on it. So Young Jock accidentally sent somebody $1,800 via Zelle. Would you return it?
No. Because that's what you get. Well, okay, who was it? Who was it? Let me ask you that. Who was it?
Young Jock.
Like, was it just
the fans? No, he just mistakenly sent the money to the wrong individual. He's been sending them messages, and they blocked him.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't know because I'm just not a dishonest cat like that. That being said, I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, he's got the money, which, yes, he does because, you know, believe it or not, I've accidentally sent someone, you know, money that, you know, you pay a certain thing and you go, oh, I accidentally sent you this much, and they don't have to send it back. So I look at that like I'm not dishonest like that. If it was going to be, you know, for OnlyFans or for some goofy shit like that, then nah, he'd kick rocks. So I don't know. I probably would have. I'm not a thief like that. I can steal a lot of shit, but that ain't going to be it. So me personally, I probably would have. I thought you were going to say he sent it to, like, a stripper or somebody he had been with and all that. He can kick it. He can kick it. But if it was really a mistake, I probably would send it back. I think I would.
Yeah.
It's 18, here's why. It's 1800, and if you're dealing with somebody with money who's got a little bit of change, more than likely they're going to try to reward that in a different way. And I'm not saying I'd be looking for a reward. I'm just saying if it was me, I'd be looking to give some type of reward anyway. Now, I did hear George ask, Polonius ask, talking about his $4,000 boo-boo that he took part in. That's different. That's the bank. And the bank screw us all the time.
Right.
So pissed on them.
Right.
I keep that shit.
Exactly.
Somebody else maybe not.
I didn't even bother to leave it in there. I didn't even bother to leave it in there. I went right around. I drove right out the drive thru and went right through the front door and withdrew everything out of my account.
Wow.
You
had
I'll
a
be
lot
taking
of
this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
It was in the drive thru, right. You know. At that time, you know, the drive thru people were way off from the counter people, and there were two different sets of people. Nowadays, everybody's saving money. You got two people working in the bank, and they're doing the drive-through, the counter, and they're handing out loans.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's back when everything. Do they still have the tubes? I haven't been through a drive-through in many a moon. Like, do they still use the little tubes to send your money?
Yep, they still use the tubes. But most banks have like 10 lanes with 10 tubes, and they only open the first one.
Exactly. But I'm normal.
Yeah,
when I see people going in the bank, I wonder, what the hell are they doing in the bank? Like, the money's out here. It's a machine. Why are they going in?
Right.
So
exactly.
I don't know. Okay.
And most banks, especially B of A, we're going to go with just B of A. I'm not going to say the whole thing, but B of A.
I hate those. I hate those constrictors.
They have more drive through lanes than they have employees in the building.
Yeah,
at all
they
times.
Suck. And you can tell them
I
said it.
I hear that all the time, but I've been with them for 20 years, and maybe it's because I've been with them for 20 years that they just treat me good all the time.
They are 100% trash. But they have to eat their own.
They're sharks.
Yeah.
They're sharks. You make one little simple mistake, they'll capitalize on it.
For real.
Yeah.
For real. Moving right along. And I don't really want to talk about her because I don't like giving her no kind of shine right now whatsoever, but I'm going to talk about her anyway because it's going to be real quick. So Jada Smith had a, on her Red Table Talk, she was asked, because apparently she was asked if she would allow Will Smith to go on a trip with his ex, right? And she said yes. She would allow him to go on a trip with his ex if she's not around. How do you guys feel about that? Would you allow your wife or husband or boyfriend to go on a trip with an ex if you're not going?
Yeah. Phoebe, it depends
on
what type of relationship they have, number one.
Been there, done that.
If they're just friends or if we have an open relationship, yes. Why not?
Shit, whatever. Anyway, yeah, well, I respect that. But,
my wife and her baby daddy, they have a good relationship. They're friends, whatever. You know, he's married again and all that. So, my stepson, his son, had a basketball game, has had a few basketball games out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the basketball games together. They rode together and stayed overnight at a hotel. I mean, they had separate rooms,
mm-hmm.
as far as I know.
So,
The buck stops there.
Right.
You know what I mean? What you don't know don't hurt you. But, you know, I, just took it for face value. You know what I mean?
George, I'm about to cut you off because George is drinking Coke and CB ain't drinking.
I didn't even get to answer, but okay. I'll answer in a minute, I guess.
I love you, my brother. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I thought he over there showing off his drink. You know, I had to pull him in. I had to pull him in by the damn neck. What you drinking, Roger?
Damn, what I do? Damn. I just wanted y'all to know that, you know what? I just grabbed myself some bubbly. Because every now and then, actually, my younger sister got me into this. They like this goofy shit. It's a Marca Prosecco. Prosecco is just a sparkling wine, but it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good, cheap bubbly. About 13 bucks or whatnot, but it's good stuff. And y'all know, it'll go to the head. So I just was kind of like, today I'm going to go ahead and, have me a nice little swirl around bubbly beverage. So.
I'm having a little whiskey and whiskey and coke.
Show you right. I even bought a shot. Mimi, just for you, I bought a shot too, see?
But you know how I'm doing this, right?
No. See, I'm going to have to get you a proper whiskey set. Now, I'll let you get away with a lot of shit, mama. But what you ain't going to do is drink my drink of choice in that shit. So we gonna fix that. We got to get your glassware tight. I got you. Your birthday's coming up.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
But anyway. Right.
That part.
Okay.
That whole part.
Moving right along. And I'm going to talk about this last thing and then we're out of here because I had a bunch of stuff to talk about, but, we don't took up a whole lot of time. Okay, so SNS producer, which is called, his name is His Kid, says that folks are trying to take him to court because of Glorilla's hit song. Now, I don't know if you guys heard about what it is that's going on, but apparently he's a producer, she's the artist, she's blown up, and now they're dragging him into court because all this back and forth between them. This is the thing. The producer, he's tripping because he's feeling that she was supposed to take him in the building with her when she went in to get her deal, whatever. She doesn't have to do that. Artists work with many producers. At the end of the day,
right,
he was supposed to make sure that split sheet was signed and they're all registered, so when that song blows up, he gets his money. That's one. Two, he was supposed to also make sure that he had a declaration page signed. He was supposed to make sure that he had already established his money, so when that song blows up, he gets his money. But the problem is, you pay a little fee, right? They run with the song, they get signed, and now he has to run trying to get his money because they never did the paperwork. Artists, handle your business. What are your thoughts, Roger? Because I know you come from music as well. And of course,
right now,
George.
Now the one thing is, it's usually the other way around, and I'm not saying anybody's correct in that, but you're right. Most artists that are new in the business or not well versed end up getting screwed on the back end because, look, you give someone with no money in advance, it's more money than they've ever had, even if it's 20 racks. It's like, I've never had this in my hand, and they pretty much find their life away. Normally, it is the producers who have more of the overall power and end up with the majority of the money. That's where a lot of the money goes, is to your production team and or producer. This individual got burned, which means you're probably getting laughed at from two different sides. But truth be told, what you said is true.
Right. Yeah. The thing is that there's only two people that are making money in this thing unless you're doing tours. You got the producer that produced it. He's getting his 100%. And the writer, who's getting her 100%. So at the end of the day, what are you fighting about? And I know that you're fighting about licensing because you just really leased this track to the artist.
Right.
But now the artist
you have to understand.
You can't do that.
So,
no, but you understand points. You
a lot of the artists don't understand when they're new, when they come into this game, they don't realize, unless they've done their research and they follow the industry and dug in, they don't realize that the artist is the least paid person in the industry. That's why there's so many people have went and got their own production company and produced themselves.
Right.
Because
right,
the artist is the least paid person in the industry under your standard contract. For years, and I mean like decades, before he came with his own company, the highest paid contract artist in the world was Michael Jackson, and he only got 13%.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. You know,
yeah,
and the next person, and the next person, the next highest, the next highest paid artist before he went and put his own production company together was P. Diddy, and he got 12.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Your average artist makes less than 10%.
Of course, because they're not writing and they're not producer, but if they do tours,
they're just performing.
That's when most of the money comes in.
Right.
Right.
When they do live shows and tours. So, but I think people are getting
that's
more knowledgeable
right.
about that, which is why this is changing. So all that to say, you're right. From a business standpoint, the artist doesn't necessarily, they should have signed on the dotted line, crossed their T's and dotted their I's. If this individual didn't do that, clearly this individual was not a seasoned producer, because that's kind of like job one. They're going to go in and get their money and things like that. I think a lot of people rely on the honor system. Like, I was reading some stuff about Missy Elliott the other day, and everybody knows Missy's a bad girl, and she's pretty loyal to her camp, like a lot of people are. Well, she literally said, I cannot come along and sign these deals with, I think, Arista or whomever, without Timbaland and Magoo. I have to bring my boys along, and just so happened they are talented enough to actually walk the talk. But a lot of people don't do that. When they come to all four of us and go, hey, I love the group, but Mimi, we need you to go solo. Now you're at a crossroad, and that happens all the time. You know, those are your homeboys from the hood, but you can't bring your entourage. I know that's your family, but your mama can't be your manager anymore. So, see, that happens so often when people are trying to keep get everybody paid. And it's a very tough thing to do, but like George said, if you jump in there and do your own thing, make your own production company, you basically get to write your own rules. So this is a hard lesson for a lot of people to learn. It's going to be tough to try to get that money on the back end if it wasn't signed for on the front.
Exactly.
So good luck.
Exactly. Peter, do you have any thoughts on that, love?
No.
Party over here.
We covered it.
Party over here.
Okay. I'm moving right along. I think that is it for me, guys. I think I did enough talking, enough bringing up stuff. I'm going to just keep it pushing.com. Let's go.
Well,
what you got, Roger?
I didn't get to answer the first question. I ain't got shit anyway. I was on the business call, so no. I ain't going to talk about sports. I ain't got no fitness for y'all. Fitness is don't drink the whole bottle of champagne like I'm going to do. There's your fitness tip. Be conservative. And, show discipline.
No, real quick. How could we lose to the Buffalo Bills? That was like a horrific game.
Okay. Let's go back to last week. What did Roger say? Did I not say we're probably going to lose? I don't act with emotion. I know what I know. I pay attention. So with that being said, I'm not surprised. It was an ugly game. It really was. It wasn't that they were stupendous, but it was ugly. And part of it was there were a lot of things.
Both teams were ugly, and we were just outplayed. That's all it was. We were just outplayed.
Quite frankly, I agree. We were just outplayed in the midst of ugliness. But the one thing I'll say is, you know, Patrick didn't play well. None of our guys really played exceptionally well, which it showed. And so I just think they looked mortal. And what I think people are starting to recognize is, and as much as we love him and love watching what he does on the field, people are have that expectation. Remember what happened his second full year, third season. People said, okay, if you cover certain people and you leave him vulnerable, he's going to force and try to make something happen. He tried a little too hard, and it showed. They know he's going to make a circus play, and everybody's going to ooh and ah until he gets picked off. So, see, I was calling that all the way from the couch. Again, he does great things, but live by the sword, die by the sword. So I think that just kind of showed where he should kind of sometimes just swallow that, put it in his pocket. That's just my thought. The only upside to that is at least Tom Brady sucks ass right now too, and he's imploding and having a really bad season right now. So I love that, and I think it's because we broke his shoulder and he won't admit it. So hey, you know what, Chiefs, y'all still my boys.
It's because his wife backed out for divorce.
Whatever. You know, that was a good run. They've been together long enough. Who cares? Her shelf life is pretty short. You know, I ain't saying Some people age badly. I'm just saying some people age badly. what do you guys think? Because there is a lot of speculation, and I think it could potentially turn into a reality about us picking up Odell Beckham Jr. Now, what I will say is, as a player, he's still got a little bit he's still got a little bit in the tank, and you know he's a decent player. He makes some phenomenal catches. He's got a lot of upside. I think he's a whiny bitch, and therefore if I had to play with or against him, it would be differently. I can't stand the kid, to be honest, but I think he would be an asset to the team, definitely, you know, as a go-to receiver. And from the looks of it, quite frankly, it could really be a possibility. So I don't know. What do you think? He's been on a couple of Super Bowl teams, so he kind of reminds me of a lot of these new age players that are just team hopping to collect rings. And I have a certain level of disrespect for that because being from the old school, you rolled or died with the team you were with no matter what. But now everybody's just championship chasing, so whatever. But could we use them? Yeah. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think
we should have won.
Well, for one, the team hopping thing. You know, I kind of agree with some of that, but not completely, because the game has changed so much, and they've done so much with the salary caps in order to make it more competitive. These owners are looking at, you know, what now they're taking good players like that are worth a lot of money and passing them off so that they can free up a lot of money to try to get two or three people for that one person. So the whole dynamics has changed in that aspect. So you see a lot of more movement, and especially as soon as you have an injury, as soon as you have a problem and you disappear for a part of the season or anything, you might as well know it's coming. Somebody who's having a bad season. Right. That part. You know, and this is what we spent so much time being plagued by getting great players that were on the back end of their careers. You know, people with one foot out the door. We've done that time and time and time and time again.
But I think like you said, if you're trying to free up money because of cap space and things like that, look, we're making promises. But teams and owners are making promises. They're basically letting their mouth write checks their ass can't cash. So now you've got players like Kelce having to kind of restructure their contracts in order to free up room and money for a guy like OBJ. Now, again, yes, he's on the back end of his career, but still plenty of good game left in him. I mean, obviously he just won in California, and he's won before, so that's not the issue, but he can't command the kind of money he could have commanded 4 years ago, and so we get into the bargain if we get him.
So was Marcus Allen when we got him.
Right.
And it didn't help. So was Joe Montana when we got him.
A little bit.
That didn't help. You know what I mean?
That's not true. We were 13-3. We just couldn't finish the shit. Come on. Bad elbow.
Right.
Come on, Jake.
But it didn't put a ring on it.
It didn't put a playoff win on that motherfucker. It didn't even put a playoff on it.
You know, but terrible. I mean, in the past, that has been KC's history, is go out and find that dynamic player that's done pretty much trying to get the last couple seasons in before they retire.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, but it worked.
Neil
went to Denver on the back of his career and fucking won. I don't want to hear that. Now, the thing is, we've got Kelce. We've got all these young bucks. Now, Kelce's 33, but again, at a tight end, he's still solid. And we've still got young Mahomes and young RBs. So I do think that a guy like that could help. Now, if he was all that we had coming in, we're dead in the water. But just in terms of taking attention off of Kelce, letting these other young players kind of get some tick, I think he would be an asset. You know, Juju's, he's kind of coming along, not like I hoped he would early enough, but the running back by committee is doing okay. what's his name, Duflicky, number 17, I can't, Mecole, I think they're expecting, Harden, they're expecting more out of him than he's giving at the moment, so he's probably got this year and this year alone to really step up, and or he's going to be gone because he's not a primary, he should be, so I think OBJ would definitely help get past a team like a Buffalo or like Tampa Bay down the road or something like that. So I think it would be a good move. Just KC, be prepared to hate somebody almost as – no, I'm not going to say that. Nobody's going to be hated more than Jackson Mahomes. But, I mean, in the past, OBJ has been kind of a problem child. Like I said, he's whiny. He's, you know, he's
right.
So maybe he's different now, so I won't pass judgment too quickly. But I don't know. We'll see. So that's really –
I wish they would flip Edwards-Helaire and Pikachu.
For what? What do you mean flip them? Playing time?
Yeah. I think Pikachu produces a lot more than Edwards-Helaire.
He does. That was another
thing. The one thing that Edwards-Helaire does have over Pikachu is, which, and it don't mean he can't do it, I just haven't seen it, but Edwards-Helaire can play, he can play a wide receiver position. He can play a wide receiver role.
But he's 4'7", so it's hard to find his legs.
Right.
But, yes,
he can't
play wide out.
But he can,
real quick,
he can
for
do
those
it.
Who don't know who George is talking about, Pacheco is the running back. This fool is causing Pikachu. So I know some people are like,
yeah,
what?
Pikachu,
anyway. What? George is talking about Pacheco. So I know,
Pikachu.
Like we know, but I know people out there are like, what is this idiot talking about? So anyway.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm just here smiling like, okay.
Mimi's like, yeah, what he said. I got something back for you too, but after we get done. But no, that's all. I just think I think, you know, quite frankly, right now everybody's battling with the refs, you know, us in particular. A lot of people are falling out with them. A lot of people are kind of trying to mix it up. And right about midseason is when you start to get retired players and players who haven't played in a while saying, hey, come get me, because people are getting injured and things and people are not playing well. So you really kind of see a roster shift up again. Right about now, about bye week time, midseason. So expect to see a couple of shakeups. People are dropping, people gaining, people just, you know, as much as I hate Denver, I'm a Russell Wilson fan, but Russell Wilson's probably on his way out of Denver. They're going to run his ass up out PDQ because he's doing terribly, I hate to say. It is what it is. So anyway, that's what's going on with our boys and some of the AFC West, just keeping that up. But like I said, did I mention Tom Brady's sucking right now and he's having hissy fits? Did I tell y'all that? Okay, all right. In case y'all didn't.
Always been such a cry freaking baby, though, always.
He's yelling at people and shit, and I mean, he's just yelling at linemen. I'm like, you don't do that. That's how you get yourself really broken up, piss your whole lineman off, man. I know that. One of my best friends in the day was an old lineman, and we used to, hey, listen, you better be nice to them. Buy them a watch and some steaks, because if those big bastards don't protect you, you're going to really be limping. So, whatever. I don't care. Fuck them.
That's right.
I love Tom. Can't y'all tell? Anyway, I got a couple of things I'm going to run by you, Mimi, when we get back to that, but I know my sis got some shit she wants to talk about on her segment, so I'm going to turn it on over.
CB, what you got?
Holla if you hear me.
Oh, no intro?
We ain't even doing intro tonight. All right. Just fuck it.
All right. Well, we're back right on in. So.
Just for you.
Now, let's check out the movie, The Crystal CB Booker.
Powder.
There you have it.
Yeah, right in mid-sentence, but it's okay. Thank you. All right, so at the movie's opening, you have your Halloween Ends, and let me tell you, it's
it's a trip. That's about the best thing I can say. It's still playing. You can see it on Peacock as well as in theaters. So definitely check out Halloween Ends so you see how it ends.
And didn't it open at like $48 million or something like that?
It did.
Wow.
It had a really good
opening.
Yeah, it had a really good opening weekend. It probably won't sustain that, and I'm just being honest.
Right.
I expected more. I mean, seriously, I expected more. And there was a character in there really that was unnecessary. I'm not going to give the movie away, but I just expected more. So everyone, you know, see it, judge for yourself. You know, this is Halloween, the time of horror films. And definitely, as usual, Hollywood does not disappoint. Smile is still playing. So just remember, somebody is smiling at you. Doesn't necessarily mean they like you. They could be smiling at you because they want to kill you. So just be careful. Also, well, it's true. All right, for children, you got Lyle Crocodile, which is still playing. Doing well for kids. Also, everybody support Woman King. Everyone needs to go see Woman King. It is a phenomenal film with Viola Davis. It is phenomenal. She did her thing in that. It's definitely Oscar worthy. So let's hope that it gets nominated. Also, Amsterdam is playing, and the long-awaited film Still, about the murder of Emmett Till, and it's told by the perspective of Emmett Till, his mom, and it's sad, and you will emerge pissed off and ready to punch people in the face. Just warning you. Don't Worry, Darling is still playing. It is the film that is directed by. I can't even think of her name now. Oh my God, Olivia Wilde. Oh my God, Olivia Wilde. Also, another film everyone's listed on is Barbarian. It's actually not bad. The twist on it is a trip. It's a real trip. You're not expecting what is in the film. I mean, you're just not expecting it. But it's a good film. Also, Bros is very good. And also, Minions, The Rise of Gru is still playing for children. So you definitely want to check that out. Terrifier is also playing. So it's a new horror film if you want to check that out. And Blanchett Tarr, check it all out. So those are the films that are opening and are still playing, so definitely check them out and support. Now moving on to business tips. So last week we talked about, you know, being, you know, ready, you know, mind, body, and spirit. Well, this week we're going to talk a bit about your niche. Like, now that you've got your positive vibes, your positive attitude, and now that you have, you're grounded and you have your foundation and you have an idea of what you want to do, or you have your idea that you know you want to be in business, then next is to find your niche. And that's the next important thing. You need to find your niche. What gives you passion? Everyone has a talent. Some people, it takes them a little longer to figure it out. And then some people, you know, they just know right away, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. So you have to decide, you know, what's right for you. What niche is your niche? Some people do arts and crafts. That's their niche. Some people just try to spread positive vibes. That's their niche. Some people are into weight loss and they want to share their weight loss journey. So there's so many different things that you can do, so many businesses you can go into. The best thing to do is to jump on the information highway. And yes, I'm talking about none other than the internet and also your local library. Books, people are sleeping on books these days. The library is still there. It still exists. And it's still
literally.
So, so go educate yourself on different niches and different things that you can do. You can go to the internet or the library and just look up different career paths that you want to take, different businesses you want to get into. You want to get into construction or tech and things like that. Some of those businesses can lead to being able to have contracts with the U.S. government, and that can lead to a lot of money. That's a very profitable thing, and we'll talk about that next week as well. But, yeah, just do your research. Next is doing your research to discover what niche you want to be in. And once you discover that, then take action. The worst thing you can do is to rest on your laurels and just expect everything to fall to you, because it doesn't work that way. You have to do the research. You have to put into the work. And then sometimes it even requires a small investment. But it's an investment in yourself, and that's the best investment that you can make. So do your research, go to the internet, just Google things. You can also go to clickbank.com if you're interested in seeing what's trending. You can also go to Twitter and see what's trending. Check and see what's out there, what's trending, where you would fit in, and then just go from there and put it into action. And next week we'll talk about how you're going to make money, how you're going to get funded for your money, and where you need to go. So that's what we'll talk about next week. So this is CB, signing off.
I'm going to be a male madam.
There you go. If you're going to be a male madam, be the best male madam you can be. There you go.
I've been heap-hipping for a while. Don't worry about it. That's right. That's what we're saying, baby. I got nothing.
That came from the left somewhere.
You're welcome.
All right.
Oh, shit. Listen, you know some of your people don't know. You know, my own damn library card.
You can't say that kind of shit at the end of a movie segment. It's like, wait a minute, when is that movie coming out?
What? Hey, listen. I might have a movie about it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Goal.
Well,
I am glad to be here. In fact, I'm glad to be anywhere. I know our fans don't know this, but I was in a car accident on Friday night. So yeah, it was pretty brutal. So I'm glad to be here. There we go.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Yours definitely looks worse than mine. So I'm glad that you're here.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're taking your meds. Make sure you get that therapy.
Yeah, physical therapy hurts.
Yeah, 1 week.
I'm not ready for that. I had my follow-up ER visit today with my PCP, and you know, it's crazy when you hear from a medical professional in medical lingo what exactly the problem is, and it's like, huh.
Can I get that name in terms, please?
Right.
Can you give me that in monosyllabic words? I mean, what are we doing here?
Right. Basically, my muscles all tensed up, so I strained on my muscles in my neck and shoulders, my hips, my legs, my back, my neck and my back. Yeah, so.
Oh, you got the same thing Ezell had.
That's the very same thing I had going on, though. Very same thing on.
Here's a question. Did you see the accident about to happen?
Yeah.
Wasn't a hard question. Okay. I'm like, it was a trick question.
I saw her coming over, and there was nowhere for me to go. So I just had to brace myself and take it, because I pretty much
knew
she was either going to hit
The hardest thing to do is to remain relaxed when you know you're going to be hit. I only know that because I've done it 3 times. I've literally been hit 3 times, front quarter panel. So, again, I understand the whole, but the difference is It's like acceptance. You know it's going to happen, and you go, ah, shit, this is going to suck. Bam, and you get blasted. But you have to relax, and that's hard. Do you ever hear people talk about stories where alcoholics fall off of buildings or drunks get hit by cars and they get up and walk away? That's literally why, because you relax, and your body takes the impact and kind of – but when you tense up, yeah, that's exactly – and it's and what you did was pretty much – the natural reaction, unless you kind of condition yourself not to do it. So I'm not saying that to tell you that you were a horrible person. I'm saying that's what 99% of people do. But having having known about that, I made it a point to not do that. And believe it, believe me, trust me, it's not easy to be like, oh, I'm about to get hit and then get hit. But your only, you know, your only other recourse is either get hit and hope that you don't get damaged beyond that and try to remain limp, loose, and all that. It's not easy to do, but yeah. So right. I get it. That's why I feel horrible, because I know what that feeling is like. I've seen someone coming in my rear view. I've seen someone coming from my side. But like, damn, who wants me dead? So again, good thing you're here. You had airbags and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got tickles that probably stopped the flu. Right?
Yeah,
did he stop it or what?
Before.
What happened?
No, the airbags didn't perform. But OnStar was on it. Like, when OnStar came on, the first thing they said is, they didn't say at first, this is OnStar. At first, they just started talking to me, and the first thing in my mind was, Lord?
Come on. Is that you, Jesus? Is that you, Jesus? Am I going uptown? Wow.
And then when I finally heard the word OnStar, I was like, okay, I'm still alive. Okay,
I'm not being funny, but the fact that your airbags didn't deploy, I would probably be making at least one phone call, because a lot of times side airbags and front airbags are meant to deploy at a very low rate of speed impact. So the fact that I saw what the front of your vehicle looked like, your shit should have come out. And they didn't. So
exactly.
I'm not being funny, but you should try to look at refactory recalls, defects, because looking at your vehicle, that was, you know, definitely deployment was warranted in that situation, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's like I can't even show my little back bumper shit.
Possibly. Not being funny, but yes, possibly you can. Yes. If there's a defect, yeah. Because honestly, if you were hit above, I think most impact zones, like crumple zones, are about 5 miles an hour. Impacts on the frame inside of your doors and things like that on vehicles like that is about 15. I'm pretty sure you were hit above that. So anything above that,
yeah, we were traveling at speeds of 45 to 50 miles an hour.
Oh, then you don't even have to ask me. You should be asking me how much you should ask for, because there's no way that shit should have deployed. I'm not even joking. There's no way that a side airbag should have deployed. You got hit in the front quarter panel, which is the front wheel, that fender, et cetera, which is better than getting hit in the door. It's the most dangerous place to get hit. It's the most lethal unless you get ejected.
Yeah,
so I'm not being funny.
The whole tire popped. It's like it popped off. The whole tire rubber.
Well, again, if you're going to get hit up there, that's probably the better place to get hit, is right there where that axle and stuff is. It'll take the brunt of the impact. You get hit in the door, we might not be talking to you. That's the worst place to get hit. So anyway, the fact that you took that type of impact at that speed, I would sincerely start looking into factory recalls and defects on those vehicles, because – And no airbag deployed, none, in the whole car.
No.
You got to get the hell there. Yeah, that's totally wrong. That's not right at all. I promise you. Any attorney that may get wind of this is going to be trying to propose to you to do this case, because something's not right about that. I'm not being funny. Wow. If OnStar called you, guess what? That impact registered. They actually have sensors that tell OnStar how badly you were hit. That sensor called OnStar, and your airbag didn't deploy. Shit, you should own Chevy by this time next year. I mean, it's true, because a sensor detects vibration, motion, wave pattern changes, frequency, etc., etc. And if an airbag can't do its job, but that sensor could call OnStar, that's a serious problem. It's a very serious problem. So if I were you, I would probably get on that. I'm not being funny, but you know what? This is America, very litigious country. Do your thing, girl. Not joking. Not joking. And then I want my attorney speak when we get done. I'll represent you in court. You know, I go in there, with my pistol and my do-rag on. I come in there with some damn house shoes, some footies, and some yellow pink curls in my hair. God damn it, Your Honor, my client wants some money. Now, we trying to tell y'all she got hit and shit. Her chakra iliac is all fucked up. I'm sorry. It's been a long week, dog, and it's only Wednesday.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
I'm tripping. Speaking of money, okay. Question. I know we kind of, I know I've been talking about it with people for a while. I don't know if we did. We talked about, we've talked about bad children in the news, 50 Cent and his kid, which this is retarded because you're 25. But what have you guys seen or heard about what's been going on with these young people, teenagers, young people defacing, property and they threw tomato soup on some Da Vinci paintings and they're pouring milk in the aisles of supermarkets because they're protesting the treatment of animals. Basically, get these young people lashing out. They're lashing out doing this shit to protest. Now, when you protest, I'm fine. But if you are damaging, defacing, and doing things like that, that's different. So, again, we all know, obviously, if you're going to do something there were some young people that threw tomato soup on a couple of Da Vinci paintings. You already know if it's a Da Vinci, it's listed as priceless. Now, I don't know if that was covered, if they recovered or if they really damaged the painting, but nonetheless, they got in the museum and threw tomato soup on the artwork. And if you know anything about the acid and things like that in tomatoes and whatnot, it's damaging, especially to old artwork. Also, I read about young people that were going to grocery stores and pouring milk all over the floor of the supermarket because they're protesting the treatment of cows and animals and shit like that on dairy farms. So what I'm getting is a lot of young people that don't have any fear of repercussion for their actions, because I say it all the time, fear is healthy. And if you don't have any fear, then you're going to do things like that and protest, and then you're going to become TikTok famous and go viral. Now, my thing is, if you're not going to cane those little sons of bitches, at the very least, turn the camera off and let somebody handle that business. People are not being held responsible for what they're doing, and this is why this country in particular is wilding out, just doing whatever they want to do, because nothing's being punished except DWB. That's the only damn thing that's being punished. Other than that, you can say and do anything you want, and literally, I'll sue you, I'll do whatever, if you touch me. Just the sheer arrogance and balls on these young people is mind-boggling. But you know what? They get away with it. I guess I can't be mad at them. But it's a lot of this going on. We're defacing property. We're damaging shit because we're offended. We're angry on behalf of. And so I just wonder, what do you guys think? What can be done to kind of curb this, rectify it, or, what would be your suggestion if you had to issue a punishment?
I mean, it starts home. That's the thing about it. But the thing about it, too, is that parents have lost control of their kids. So because they have lost control of the kids, now the kids are doing what the hell they want to do out there. And they're really not scared of what the hell the law is going to do or not do to them.
Exactly.
You know what? The fear factor is gone, because if you don't have the fear from home, then who are you to fear out there in the streets if it ain't God showing up and let me snatch your little ass up somewhere?
Right. But how can you fear somebody that you grew up with? And I'm not being funny. How do you fear somebody that you went clubbing with? How do you fear somebody that is literally your peer and not necessarily your mentor or your teacher? And, it's a rhetorical question, but it's me being very, very, very honest about it. So check it out right here. George got it.
Okay, let's go.
Wow. Security?
Now, let's see.
What is that?
So
why are they doing that?
They're protesting.
Oh, is it worth more than food? Worth more than justice? Are you more concerned about the protection of a painting or the protection of our planet and people? The cost of living crisis is part of the cost of oil crisis. Fuel is unaffordable to millions of cold, hungry families. They can't even afford to heat a tin of soup.
Right,
Meanwhile, crops are failing. Millions of people are dying in monsoons, wildfires, and severe drought. We cannot afford new oil and gas. Everything we know and love.
Got a good deal on a one-ply toilet paper? But how many sheets are you using?
How many sheets are you using? Anyway. I use a whole handful. You know, I got to get it right. You know, I got a bidet. But here's the thing. First of all, that's not in America, but that doesn't matter. It cracks me up because, first of all, had that been here, you already know. If those kids look like me, they might have been fucking carried out on a gurney under a sheet. But nevertheless,
yes, because
I understand.
Was that not an officer that just showed up almost?
Oh, yeah, he was looking at him and he was talking to him. Hey, do so and so. I mean, but you can't if you beat him down. Then what happens? Who gets sued? I don't know. The museum or what? But my thing is, no patrons stopped or tackled him or whatever. See, they would have if that would have been a little brown kid, they would have had all eyes on them anyway because they'd been thinking, first of all, y'all don't like art and you probably can't read. Now you have these other little children that go right by there and throw the shit on there. And it's not about playing the card. It's about the fact that when they started reaching for bags and doing shit, you know people were watching because anytime you have time to whip your phone out, you have time to do some other corrective action. So I feel like those people are responsible too. You didn't make a citizen arrest. You didn't tackle that little bad hair having ass little gal. And it's just this is the kind of shit that's going on and on and on. Because again, you have look, you have a voice, express it. But if you're going to damage something priceless that your parents can't pay for, and by the way, she said people couldn't afford a tin of soup, but they wasted two good damn cans of soup. So see, she should be beat just for that alone. But I
digress.
It was
Campbell's too.
They ain't got no damn
Campbell's. It was Campbell's too. It wasn't even Campbell's.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the kind of stuff going on. I don't know. People are just really, really lashing out. Listen, people are listening to that crazy voice in the back of their head that tells you to do weird shit, but then you got the sensible one that says don't do that because it won't go well. People are like listening to that other voice and they're doing it. And I mean, it's really everything is just wilding out. Like I don't feel necessarily comfortable.
It is bad. Yes.
You just look at what's going on around here.
That's kind of based off of, you know, what our topic is tonight. Like, when did protect and serve become null and void? Because clearly the officer was there and didn't do anything. And we've seen that quite a bit in different situations where the police are present and they don't do anything. So when did protect and serve, when did that oath not, you know, have a meaning? When did it become null and void?
It doesn't apply to everybody. It doesn't. It does not apply to everyone. It applies to some. And I agree that phrase technically used to mean something, but if you want to go historical, the police force really wasn't designed to do that anyway. I think we all understand that. If you understand the police force's dark past, you understand protect and serve is only for a select few. The entitled, the privileged, the ones who may look like you, but that's not universal, not across the board. Also, of course, if you look at it from a standpoint of legality, believe it or not, a lot of departments are taught to, you know, not shoot to maim or shoot to wound, but shoot to kill, because dead men tell no tales, and therefore they can't see you in court. And if you paralyze someone from the waist down, technically that police department can be liable for that person's cost of living for the rest of their life. So if you look at it from a financial standpoint, it's just a lot easier to tell the parent, hey, sorry, he did whatever, and we're done. Like, it's just, I think their hands are tied. I don't deny that they have a difficult job, but here's what I'm tired of hearing. I'm tired of hearing, oh, there are only a few bad ones. The bad ones make the rest look bad. That's bullshit. There can't be that few bad ones, yet all these stories circulating have different names. If that's the case, then if my car broke down one day a week, you say, well, it's only one day a week. But guess what? That's 52 times a year. Fuck the other seven or the other six out of the 7 days. That one day a week is going to become an inconvenience. Now, if something happens once every 6 months, that's one thing. But one day a week, that's a lot. If you look at how many weeks there are in a year and how often you use your vehicle. Now, let's look at how often there's a oops, a story, something went wrong, whatever happened, someone is dead. And we have 48 continental United States, 48. And then you've got gobs of cities. And some are a lot more antiquated in their thinking than they are progressive. So I feel like that protect and serve has never really quite applied to all people across the board. It was masked a little bit differently, a little bit better, but now there's no need to even hide it. People are emboldened by, you know, past regimes and things like that. Shit, the hoods are off point blank. So I don't think it's ever been there. I think it's a statement, but I don't think it's ever been there. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way as well. But again, you know, it boils down to fear factor. If they have no fear of anything, then they're going to run out here and do the damn thing. And
right.
Even the cute little brown kids, you know what I'm saying? They too. They're on their shit. But I don't think that little brown kids are going to run around throwing poop and shit.
No.
Fine art.
Yeah, you ain't going to mess up some shit
that
mom and daddy
that.
Can't pay for. That's what you're not going to do. Because, see, if that had been two kids that look like me, and you'd have called their parent and they had to come off work, you'd have saw the beat down of the century in front of the cops and TV in that museum. And that's really kind of the difference. It's like, we'll beat the hell out of our kids if need be. And then people would be like, oh, we're going to get them taken away and all that. And a black mother would look at them and go, call the police because I'm going to kick your ass next, too. So they're going to come get both of y'all. But that's the difference. That fear is healthy. My children are all technically adults, but they absolutely still respect my opinion and fear my wrath. And they will until I'm gone, because I'm not going to be too old or too sick to drop your ass. But they also know anything I do is going to be for them. So if you're willing to sacrifice everything for them, you have no choice but to respect me, because if you don't, you're out of here. I'm taking your ass out. And that's every one of us has heard that from our parents. It's just a difference. It's a difference in entitlement and upbringing. It just is. You know, none of us can imagine how that would go, because I don't think George would be sitting there waiting on that phone call either. Like, his kids ain't going to the Nelson Art Gallery messing shit up, because they know daddy ain't going to pay for that shit that ain't on my wall. So you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Our kids know better. Our kids know better. First thing they think about is, man, if my parents have to pay for that,
so,
I'm a dead man. Like, I should move.
like you said, so what happened was, they took away consequences.
Yeah.
You can't spank your kid or you're going to jail.
Yep.
Here, put him in timeout in this corner.
That did it.
For real.
Who here saw a kid get whooped in school? Who here saw a parent come up there and beat a kid's ass in grade school? Or, you see what I'm saying?
I was that one.
I saw mine come and beat me.
And choke my ass out. So.
But you see, dude, none of my kids don't even know what that looks like. Like, I remember in fourth grade watching the kid's name was Willie Bell. Willie, if you're out there, what's going on? I saw your mama come up and beat your ass. And she came up to school in Ms. Miller's class, pulled his ass out of class, and went medieval on that ass. I mean, that's what we did back in the day. And you know what all the rest of us did? Sat in the classroom quiet as shit, like, she ain't whooping me. I mean, you just, because at any moment,
let me tell you another consequence to disappear. Like, we would go outside and play. We would go outside and play as kids and be outside on the block playing and fuck up. Then think you can fuck up, and your mom and daddy ain't home. Your mom and daddy ain't home. It don't matter. Because Mrs. Jones down the street will come out and beat your ass and then go tell your parents, you know what he did? This is what he did.
Yeah.
And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get a bad beating again.
But see, you can't do that.
You can't do that now.
Don't touch my kid. Nobody does such and such. And
right.
Listen, I'm not saying that there weren't people that went outside boundaries or whatever. I don't know because, again, I never feared my friend's parents because as nearly as much as my own. Nearly as much. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, if an adult said you did it, you did it. I mean, whether you did or not, adults were always was over yours. The problem is now there's no accountability because everybody thinks that their child is special and precious and all that. I'm here to tell each and every one of you, your kid doesn't mean shit to me or anyone else until they do something for society. So I know you think your child is wonderful, lovely, precocious, smart, everything that everybody in the world has ever thought their kid was, and they're not. And you know what I'm saying? Mine are special to me and me only. Yours are special to you and you only until they make an impact on you. And so because of that, all of this, let them express themselves and my kids can express themselves and have an opinion. They can do all that. But if they don't do what I say, each one of them has picked themselves up from me, not their mother. Oh, you hit your girls? I hit anybody. You know your place.
Yeah.
The problem is I don't have to do that. I've never had to do that after they got to a certain age because they understood consequences, repercussions. Feel how you feel about it. You know, some people don't believe in it. I got my daughter swears she doesn't believe in hitting or anything like that. If she had kids, I go, good, good. Make sure that they well behaved because if they come to Pop-Pop's house, I'm knocking the shit out of them too. Then I'm going to buy them all the shit in the world. I don't play lack of discipline and respect. I just don't. Because, again,
she's only saying that because she doesn't have them yet. But when she has them little badasses, she's going to be like, Daddy, how the hell I need to handle this shit? Let me bring them over there real quick.
Then you use the front of the back of the hand.
Daddy, I need you to pull up.
But I couldn't imagine my kids going somewhere like that knowing what you're about to do. You're about to do something. You're about to just straight desecrate like national treasures to prove, dude, that's that entitlement. Like, I'll get out of it. My parents will get me out of it. Nothing will happen. Look, every time I think about this, I go, that's why they caned that boy in Singapore back in the day. Caned their ass.
Let me tell you what they done. They took a good cause and fucked it up.
With a bad move.
Because for real, I was feeling the shit she was saying. It doesn't mean anything anymore because you just fucked it up by doing this shit to this painting.
So and instead of maybe trying to organize a boycott of things or gas stations or whatever, you'd be faced. See, again, you're right, George. I think her intent was good, but you know her direction was way off. You went completely left field. Yeah. If you're complaining about oil prices and gas prices, why do you attack a national treasure? Now, again, it's you know neither here nor there, but that's the point I'm making. Fair enough. That was a stretch, baby. I mean, not on your part, but on their part, that was a stretch. But I get it. But I look at like the young people that were, again, pouring milk out at the supermarket, and they were literally watching the workers have to call for cleanup, go get mops and things like that. See, let me tell you what I do. See, when I used to be a bouncer, if people got too drunk or threw up or bled anywhere in the vicinity, now I know the rule states that the bar backs and whoever's around is supposed to help. You can ask anybody who knows me, did I ever clean up someone else's blood or puke? I didn't have to do that with my own children very often. I'd be damned if I clean up after somebody else's, especially one who's old enough to get in the club. I would sober you up so quickly. I'll beat the hell out of you. You're either going to clean up or y'all going to leave. I'll beat you bloody. Clean that shit up. I made more drunk people clean up their own blood and puke. I'm not doing that. You're not. That's not that's not the job title. And so those young people, I promise you, they'd have been lumped up. And I don't need the job. I'm lumping your ass up. You're going to mop up that milk. I'm going to break your nose. And so I think that's the problem, though. They're doing that. Knowing they can get away with that. Knowing they can get away with it because everybody's going to sue everybody. You know what I mean?
So this is something that's happening overseas, or this is something that's also happening here in the U.S.?
The milk incident happened in America. The oil painting, obviously, was in Europe. But I just think about, like, unfortunately, you know, and here's the thing. Young people don't have any clue about this. So they don't know what milk costs or what eggs used to cost and shit. That shit's expensive. Okay, here you go. George got it. Like, we were talking about that the other day. Check it out. Let me see what we're going to advertise.
New
what
Delhi.
Commercial we're going to advertise.
Throughout the UK, Animal Rebellion, an anti-dairy activists group, was seen pouring milk on shop floors, displays, and products.
That's a new one.
The strategy of these climate activists is to pour milk all over department stores to bring attention to their cause. Members of Animal Rebellion, a climate change and animal rights organization, entered UK stores such as Fortnum and Mason and Selfridges and dumped milk and products on the floor while employees and customers looked on. The environmental organization, with the goal of transitioning to a plant-based food system, said that dairy, like all forms of animal farming, is an incredibly wasteful and destructive industry and a major contributor to the climate crisis that is currently threatening all life on Earth. The group has coordinated action in Waitrose, Whole Foods, and Marks & Spencer stores in London, Manchester, Norwich, and Edinburgh. Several protesters were seen pouring milk from the shelves onto display cabinets in Harrods Food Hall in Knightsbridge. Another group was filmed emptying milk bottles onto the floor and across a cheese-laden table in Piccadilly's Fortnum & Mason. Animal Rebellion has stated that it is advocating for a plant-based future and emphasizing the importance of assisting farmers in transitioning to a sustainable plant-based food system.
Okay, I thought I saw one that happened in America too. It wasn't that one, so I don't know if it's all in the UK or if it's some here too, but it doesn't matter. But you get the entitlement. You see how smug they are, how they're looking at everybody like, I dare you to do something. What?
Look, let me tell you something. My little Caribbean rats will pick up a freaking fire extinguisher. I'll be like, shh.
Really, what do you do? Because you know they're going to try to sue, or if you touch me, I'll tell my dad, or he's a lawyer.
Whatever,
I mean, what do you do? Like, that kind of stuff
is
ridiculous.
That's damn near like, it's almost like destruction of property. It's like you just don't do certain things.
It is.
Like, that's not something, that's not a natural thing to do, to walk into a grocery store, pick up the milk, and just start pouring it out. Who does that?
They should tell you.
Having a temper tantrum is a natural thing to do. That's nothing more than a quiet temper tantrum. That's exactly what that is. But that's entitlement.
It's
when do children have temper tantrums? I love the caning idea. I've been for it since the 80s. Singapore's got my vote. But that's, again, what do children do? They have tantrums. They throw fits until you do something to rectify it. That is no different. It's just minus the noise. So how do you, what's the corrective action? Because, again, you know me, I'm corporal. I'm corporal about all of mine because pain will cut through a lot of bullshit. But I just don't think that's the way to get your point across. Again, defacing, damaging shit you can't pay for that you aren't going to pay for. So remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about truancy and things like that. Do you guys think that somehow, some way, either a parent if they're a minor, or who should be held responsible? So if you can't incarcerate these people, if they're not old enough, which I'm sure some of them are, then I think the parents should be held responsible. If you didn't, you raised a shitty kid, now you've got to pay the piper for them. Now, if they're old enough, obviously, go ahead and lock them up or do communities. Something has to be done to, you know, hard labor, whatever makes them, you know, kind of figure
I'll
it out.
I'll make them go work on a milk farm.
I like that. For free.
Very good punishment.
For free. Community service.
Of course.
$2,000 community service on the milk farm.
You know what? I like that. That's funny.
Detention center.
I like that. Work on a milk farm. That's good.
And it's not going to be a juvenile detention center where it's going to be stone little juveniles. It's going to be a juvenile detention center that's going to be attached to a real prison so you can be scared straight every now and then.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's literally what that kind of stuff is going on. You know, again, just people lashing out and being childish. And I'm not saying that they don't have a point. I'm not saying they're not entitled to their opinion or to speak. But, again, if you don't like how I cut my lawn, or if you don't like that I have ornaments or whatever, you can stand in front and tell me all day long. You can even write me a letter and mail it.
That's right.
But you cannot then come onto my property and start kicking over. I don't give a shit if I have 13 pink flamingos and a polar bear in the middle of that shit. If once you touch what belongs to me and not you, different story. And again, I
nothing
know the
wrong
workers'
with
hands are covered.
That's the thing. Nothing's wrong with protesting. That's all good. You're going to still be heard. Your view is going to still come across. But to start destroying and doing dumb stuff that you're going to have to pay for in the future, because at the end of the day, this is the thing. These kids do a lot of shit when they're young thinking they can get away with it, not thinking that it's going to follow them. And this is the type of stuff that now, especially today, you can Google this little idiot's name that did some shit 5 years ago, and now it's like you can't get that big job because you're thinking, you can spaz out one day and do this.
It's forever. So that is definitely true. But yeah, I'm with George on it. I like George's thing. Hey, work camp shit. Scared straight. We need to go back. We need to go back to that. For real.
Who's gonna implement the first of it? CB and the boys. Have a CB and the boys camp.
I got a homeboy who was actually a sergeant in the military, and he was on those shows, and he did the whole scare straight in their face thing. He kind of told us what goes on behind the scenes, so I got a little insight. I mean, if y'all really want to, I'll beat your kids.
I'm just saying. It could be a nice little summer thing for CD and the boys. I don't know.
I'm trying to tell you. So speaking of children, and this is about to take a dark turn, speaking of children, I know y'all know who Isaiah Washington is, obviously, actor, things like that. Good actor, as a matter of fact. Over the years, though, he's been in and out of people's mouths for the wrong reasons. He's kind of a trip a little bit. I think a lot of times, you know, celebrity goes to your head, things like that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. He's made homophobic statements and comments, whatever. So recently I saw an interview, and here's what's crazy. In this interview, he basically defended R. Kelly and said Aaliyah went with the whole marriage and them being together, her getting pregnant, blah, blah, blah. He literally was like, listen, Aaliyah knew what she was doing. R. Kelly didn't do anything wrong. And even though she was only 15, Aaliyah was mature for her age. I fucking hate that term. Listen, I hate when people say that. Stop saying, and this is usually for girls, because guys, we don't get labeled that very often. Stop saying a little girl is mature for age. That pisses me the fuck off, because no, you're not. 15 is 15, 20 is 20, 30 is 30, man, woman, or child. You can say you feel a certain way, but stop saying mature for you. No, you're not. You're just as stupid. You just hide it better. I'm sorry. I own two of them. No, you're not. 19 doesn't know shit. So to say that she was mature at 15, mature enough to marry a 27-year-old, make decisions because she seemed to have things under control, I mean, he was really talking about her with reverence. It was sick. And then he turned around and said it's because he had a crush on her, when they filmed Romeo Must Die, he had a little crush on her and all this other bullshit. And so when he would talk to her, and he's, you know, R. Kelly's age and or older. So at that point in time, she still was still in her, like, early, mid-20s, maybe. It's twisted.
All
these goddamn
old with worms.
And this dude, like I said, he's over the years I've paid attention, and like I said, he's gotten a bad rep because of some of the – he's kind of come out of pocket with his commentary, and it's almost like his crazy is right below the surface, and every now and then it creeps out. Mm-hmm. But that tripped me out when he said that he was literally like, no, R. Kelly's cool. He didn't do anything wrong. He's a good dude. Boom, boom, boom. Aaliyah was mature for her age. She knew what she was doing contractually in the business. She was real mature. She handled her shit. He was talking about her like she was a 30-year-old woman with 15 years worth of experience, not a 15-year-old. Do you know how twisted that is to even refer to a 15-year-old in that light? It was the weirdest shit, and I was just like, I definitely got to, you know, I know Mimi, you know, we understand that whole thing, the whole BTS team behind you, you see what's going on, all that, but it messed with me a lot, as you can tell, because I'm like, are you really defending this dude for that? And, you know, the stories we've heard and read and all that, 15, really, 15? That means you should be taken out to the woods and shot right along with R. Kelly, both of y'all. I wish would tell me they had a crush on my 15-year-old when they were 27. Come over to the house for dinner, dog. Come to the house for dinner. Please, please, please. Shit. We'd love to have you for dinner, motherfucker.
So hold that thought.
I'll be right there with a sign. Sure, you want to have dinner over here?
Hold that thought. And we're going to take a pause for the calls. But when we come back, I got a question.
Drink.
On a whole nother topic, a whole nother level. I got a question.
Let's go.
Pose for you. What?
Okay.
Let's pay these bills.
Hey, everybody. It's me, CD. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we shake things up and toss things out. CB and the boys, join us for your midweek motivation. See ya.
All right, we'll be right back after this quick music break.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
What the hell? Okay, first of all, we don't cut songs like that. I was hoping you hit the first song.
We can't fade it.
Right.
That's the problem. We can't fade it. You can only cut it.
Actually, you can. Just slide the slider over to the left slowly.
But I've tried that, and it does not.
So what happened was we'll just keep it moving right along. What's with the hood hat, Roger?
So.
Yes, let's go, George.
So what do you think? I'm sure CB's really going to have an opinion on it, and I can about imagine what it's probably going to be. But
okay.
What do you think about the situation with Korea and the South Korean law in regards to males in the family in the military? And do you understand what their law is? First of all, it's my first question. Do you know what their law is?
I don't know what the law is, but God damn it, CB, bring your ass back in here. You got to talk about it. She has such tough feelings about that damn BTS group. Look, they can't even run from that shit if they wanted to, though. The law is the law down there. Roger, we can't hear you.
Right. We can't hear a thing you're saying.
Yeah, I'll mute your shit. He's trying to point.
So, so
it's a good thing y'all didn't hear
just
that.
So you know, Mimi, just so you know, Mimi, the law is at 18, every male has to do a term in the military, period.
Yep.
So that is the reason why they have to kind of
that's the
like,
law.
It wasn't about splitting up. It's about you guys are about to reach 18 and everybody's got to go do their time.
Well, actually I think it's because they went through puberty, so they were about to break up anyway because they were about to start sounding like real men instead of, you know.
Instead of New Edition.
Right, they're going to come back in 12 years and shit all grown. But you know what, that's interesting. A lot of countries do that. We just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, America hasn't implemented, the draft hasn't been around for a while, but a lot of countries do actually require their males to serve usually around 2 years or so in the military before they proceed to university, as they call it, and things like that. interesting. What I say is, even though I am by no stretch what I would consider military material,
Phoebe,
I think it's not a bad
idea.
I know, she all sensitive because they ain't going to steal no more American songs and change them and shit. It's cool. That's, we've been having that for a long time. It's fine, you know. But I think it's actually not a bad idea. I think it's a good idea considering the state of how things are now. Obviously, I have to agree with that. Now, here's the thing. My kid went to the military. It was in the middle of kind of a worrisome time. He's kind of on the back end of that because even when they get done, depending on what you sign up for, you can sign up and then you can leave after 4 years, but you still have 4 years that they can pull you back, be it reserve or whatever. so he's on the back end of that. But, you know, still looking at the fact that, you know what? Look at the state of this country in particular. We're easily the worst. We got the biggest bunch of worthless, do-nothing, soft-ass people the world has ever seen. Now, I was talking to my daughter about this today. Creative, intelligent, and all that, but soft and weak as hell. And since I never have, nor will I ever buy a BTS album, I mean, you know what? I think maybe some of them may come back as tenors and baritones once they do their time in the military. CBC, it's the upside to that.
First of all,
upside.
You gotta understand, they're older. They're older.
Right.
They're well over 18, but the way the law states is when you're 18, you got to do 20 months, and then when you turn 28, you got to do 20 months. So it happens twice at 18 and 28.
Oh,
really?
So, and what's happening now is the member Jen turns 28 in a couple months.
Really?
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Is that mandatory? What if they, like, come to the U.S.?
Yes, it's mandatory. It's mandatory. It's mandatory. As long as they, are a South Korean citizen, it's mandatory. Now.
Oh, wow.
What's interesting is, they have talks. They're having, they're in talks right now, and they may allow them, they're not going to give them a pass and make them not do it. But
look at this spoiled ass woman.
they are talking about allowing them to defer it
until fucking way at 40
to a later time.
When they're slower and they can't
find
the
say.
They're not going to defer it because one of BTS wants to serve. They are Korean citizens. They feel it's their duty to serve. All the other idols have served. Big Bang, which was one of the biggest groups in Korea, all of them have served. So it wouldn't be right for BTS to not have to serve, and they want to serve. So after Jin does his release of his new song, Astronaut, and his album, then he's going to do his schedule, and then he's going to go ahead and go in. Suga is going to follow, and then you go from RM, and then you do the Maknae Light, Taehyung, Jimin, J-Hope, and Jungkook. Everyone's going to go in, and they will be back in 2025 as a group, as it stands right now. That's the tentative schedule. In the meantime, they all will be doing their solo projects until it is time for them to go serve. And so they're going to stagnate it so that all of us fans are going to be well fed with BTS content. It'll be as if they're not one because they have plenty of content stored up. And they just had their concert in Busan, which was a huge success. So they're going to do well. They're going to be fine.
So to answer your question, though, that you initially asked, the defer was only for 2 years. They were going to allow them to defer it till they were 30 instead of 28.
Well, they're already deferment. Well, I mean, they're already in the deferment. Number one, they never were going to because the government was holding it over their heads with the deferment. So if they do this, if they do that, then they may not have to start. But that wasn't the case. They were being used, they were being abused, and they were being taken advantage of. And they just got tired of it. That's when they announced their retirement. And we knew, I saw it coming. And now the fans are going batshit crazy over this whole thing and not seeing it for what it is. It's a good thing. They want to do this. This was their decision. If they didn't want to go serve, then they could have,
Hey, Mimi, calm down while you're talking to Jesus.
I'm like, Mimi, what in holy hell are you talking to angels? Like, what the fuck is going on?
You just calm down when you're talking to angels.
So,
Because of who they are and what they've done, they basically have earned the right to be deferred and to not go. But this is their decision. They want to go. They want to serve. Because they are.
So I mean, that's cool. That's commendable, actually. The government put the deferment. They actually put the deferment law. They put the deferment law in place for all K-pop groups, and that's it. Nobody else, just K-pop groups.
That's called you bringing revenue to the country.
It wasn't that way. And they had to make it fair for the rest of them, because there are so many K-pop groups. There's so many groups that are talented. You have NCT
167. Are you saying that you believe because they can sing and dance, they shouldn't serve their country? There should be an exception to the rule? Because that's what it sounds like.
I did not say that.
I'm asking. I'm asking. because you just said they earned the right. Well, you said they earned the right to be deferred or to not go, whatever. And that's why I was asking.
BTS, and with that exception, yes, because they have broken records. They have paved the way. They're trailblazers. They've done a lot for the Korean
I hate to say this. So did Elvis. He went to the military.
Can I finish?
Knock yourself out.
So they've done so many things for the Korean economy that no other group has ever done. They've broken records that no other group has done globally. They are the biggest group in the fucking world. You can't deny that. So for them to take a hiatus or to go serve and stop making money is going to hurt the Korean economy, and that's what people are looking at. So if there was any group that could have been, you know, deferred to not have to serve, it would definitely be BTS. And I know every ARMY would agree with that. You know, we see what they've done.
For the record, since 2017, BTS has bought $3.6 billion into Korea.
Mm. Okay, so for that South Korean version, yes. I think we all agree from an economic standpoint, it's lucrative. But I wasn't asking about that. All I was saying was, do you agree that the rules should be bent or broken for a specific group? And I'm only saying that because if Kanye happened to stop a war because of his music or stop a recession, but you said, hey, does he deserve to be president? Would you say he deserves to be an exception because he's an artist, albeit some people love or don't love?
Now, if you use somebody else as an example,
Why? Because you love one and don't like the other.
Crazy. You don't use somebody nuts as an example. That's
absolutely
phenomenal.
I do.
Period.
No, because we're using numbers, not emotion.
Then I guess Georgia should vote for Herschel Walker because he's mentally ill.
Well, if Herschel Walker was saving the economy of South Korea, would Herschel Walker deserve to be governor? If he brought in $3.6 billion instead of BTS, and BTS brought in $1 million, who would you vote for?
No, BTS.
That's emotion. That's not numbers. That's not statistically, and you don't give a shit about the economy. That's just a number. And I don't have a problem with that. You love them, and I'm fine with that. We're just going into the whole, should people mandatorily be made to join the military and serve, and should there be exceptions? The reason I brought up Elvis, whom I do not like, is because even at the height of his popularity, Elvis went to the military and served. Now, he's one of a few because this country's full of fucking rich draft dodgers. But the point that I'm making is, does that mean they deserve an exception? No, because before any of those little boys were born, they were still there, be they north, south, or together. They were still there. We're just speaking from
You know who was the biggest draft dodger of all?
That was
Muhammad Ali.
But you know what? I love the way that nobody. And here's the thing: he stood in your face and told you why. He didn't do like the Bushes and the Cheneys and the other family. Be like, no, I can't. I got bad arches, or my dad said I can't. He was like, no, I ain't going because I don't believe in the cause. And I'm fighting a bigger war over here. So, again, draft, yes, he was absolutely – he wasn't even a draft dodger. He was a hell no to your draft. So I can respect
that's
anybody
draft,
that will look you in the face.
That's the draft team for real, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
he was like, I ain't doing it. And you know what? And the thing is, every time he did an interview and talked about it, as much as Cosell and all these other people hated it, they were like – I'm trying to play the patriotic card, and you're killing everything I say. See, if you back up and attack with facts, It doesn't matter where emotion comes into play. Obviously, we have a good time with this because we know you love the group and we love you for loving the group. But when we look at straight statistics on should people be allowed to and do whatever, like I said, I never thought I would say that because, again, I personally would not. Could I have done well in the military? Sure. Did I even want to? Hell no. I'm insubordinate. My son is the perfect example of how to do it the right way. You know, he keeps his head down. He did his thing. He did well. He rose. He did all the shit his father couldn't do. And I give him all the credit in the world for having that particular discipline. I'm disciplined in a lot of ways, not that, especially getting yelled at and all that kind of shit. But when I look at, like I say all the time, the way that this generation is going and how unruly and out of control things are, and they say, hey, we're going to re-implement that here, I'd be like, go ahead. I'd be out for it because I don't have to go. But, you know, again, could I have made it through? Absolutely. And I know that about myself. It's just I didn't need it because I had more discipline than to be pouring milk and throwing shit on pictures and paintings and things like that. So if that's what their country calls for, then, yeah, I mean, I give it up to them for doing what they're supposed to do. But I know a lot of people from the Middle East who say that all the time, you know, guys that come over here from Iran and places like that and say, yeah, we all did 2 years plus before we came to the U.S. And then they try to, you know, get work visas and things like that. But they all speak of having military training, which is why they don't really worry about a lot of things that we worry about over here, because if you come into their store or business or whatever, it's probably going to be a bad move. You know what I mean? Whereas,
so,
you know, it's a little different.
So what if they were kind of like, not per se bullied, but kind of like pushed into doing this group that would boost the economy, and now they're freaking tired. They've done made, you know, over there all this freaking money, and now it's like, okay, you guys can take a break and go into the military and come back and do this shit again. You know, what if it's against, like, you know, they're wanting to be a group or they're wanting to... Do you think that could possibly happen?
Hell no. So you get popularity. Wait, you got popularity, all the women you can stand. You get to travel, make money, or you can go do boot camp. Hell no. I'm down. I'm going to learn how to do. I'm going to spin around. I'll learn a different language to sing my damn self if it meant not going there. So, nah, baby, I don't think it's because they didn't want to do it anymore. Even if you don't get along with each other, you're going to be like, listen, we're going to do this next song, and we're going to tour all through Europe because, you know, some shit's breaking out at home. So I don't think so.
Oh,
you
got
to really hate somebody to be like, I'd rather go to the military to ever sing next to your ass again. Like, I don't know anybody I hate that much.
right.
Hey, like, I don't like you, but stand over there, and we're going to do this song. And if you mess up, I'm going to choke you. But we ain't going to the military.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't think
I'm a shit starter. I just be wanting to know.
Yeah, you are.
Different twist, you know. See, be over there like, what is she talking about? Somebody.
That's a good question. Listen, I feel like I did a good job explaining that, CB, even on your behalf and on BTS's behalf, because you already know you feel like you must be out your damn mind considering how popular they were. But they could redo We Are the World and nobody would get mad at them. That's how popular they were. Now, do I agree? No, but they could be the Korean Michael Jackson. They could be the Korean,
right,
you know, Bruce Springsteen. So
right.
when you that hot, when you that hot, nah. Nah, you ain't gonna break up. Not unless you're going solo.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, my album's coming out next month, y'all. It'll be in all your record town stores and what's the other music store we used to have at the mall, George? All my shit coming out. My shit coming out on 8-track.
Shut up.
This
is
gonna be
at
Seventh Heaven.
You have something dropping for real? Thinking
of?
Hell. No.
Trust me, if I do it, it'll be a comedy album. It damn sure ain't gonna be serious. Hey, Roger does Christmas and shit. Me and the Chipmunk.
It's gonna be sitting on the shelf right next to Weird Al Yankovic.
Hey, I would love that. That dude is paid. That dude is crazy. I would do.
No,
I think
he's,
weird
he's,
out.
He's the king. He's the king of parody songs.
And most people actually, you know, gave him permission and liked it. Very few people said no. And he probably did Michael Jackson and Madonna the most. Oh no, Michael and I don't know. He parodied Michael a lot, but it was easy to do. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I would do that shit. If I could get rich, rewriting, oh, man, I would do that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
But you...
yeah. If I knew then what I know now, 30 years later. But oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, it is that time. We got 5 minutes left, so everybody... say your goodbyes, and I'll bring up the rest.
She pushing us to saying goodbye. It took so she could throw off freaking 5 CTS songs. Hey, look.
She was.
I ain't hating. Look, one love. God bless you guys next week. Enjoy. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this ice water. And that's it. This is one love. Hey, thank you, Danette, for coming through. Thank you, Trey, for coming through. Okay, thank you guys so much. One love.
You know, real brief story about when I was a young boy. I don't know why I'm starting messing with people tonight. Anyway, good time. We had a good time. It was all good. Like I said, you know, we'll catch y'all next week, you know, in a couple of capacities. Take care of yourselves. Do your thing. Rod's got shit to do. So catch y'all on the flip side. And, you know, BTS, don't drop the soap. I'm an asshole. I love you, though, girl.
Look, first of all, let me say this right quick. Next week is going to be a different type of show. That's all I'm going to say. Just look forward to it because it's going to be off the freaking chain. That's all I'm saying. That's it. I'm leaving it right there. Don't spoil it, guys. Just leave it right there. Keep it moving.
This one right here.
I think next week we're going to play a Weird Al Yankovic video.
Oh, let's do it. Let's pick. We got a good one. We got to pick a good one, though.
Maybe Beat It.
How about Beat It?
Beat It was
nah,
one of his best
like,
ones.
No, Fat was probably one of his best ones.
We'll have to scan through and check them out. But
okay, I'm
with
it. With
that said, next week, Weird Al Yankovic. That part.
Okay.
Peace, love, and hair grease.
Already.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. You've been listening to TV and the boys. Listen to you every Wednesday. As your main motivator, offering you motivation, conversation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. Hopefully you got that tonight and then some. Shout out to everyone who has liked us and subscribed on our YouTube channel. And also shout out to everyone that has bought tickets to the Halloween, KC Halloween Spooktacular. Don't forget to get your tickets, guys. It's on Eventbrite.com. Look at KC Halloween Spooktacular, CB and the Boys. And there you shall find us, buy your tickets so you can come and party with us next Friday, October 28th in Kansas City at Club Euphoria at 3020 East 9th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. Zip code 64124, I believe. So definitely come and check us out. Come hang out with us. You get to hang out with us. And a special performance by KC's on Bombay J. So you don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
So everybody come out, check us out. Shout out to everybody who bought a ticket. Continue buying your tickets. Also, tickets will be sold at the door day of. So you don't want to miss that. So definitely come out and support. Also, shout out to BTS. As you go on your new journey, your new endeavors, you know, ARMY will be with you forever. So in honor of our beautiful, lovely BTS, to take us home, here is their new song, Yet to Come, because there are so many good times yet to come. And just like with BTS, with CB and the Voice, so many good times yet to come. We have so many things yet to come for you guys, so definitely you don't want to miss it. So shout out to everybody at Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you find podcasts, you will find us, CV and the Boys. So There is Yet to Come by BTS to take us home, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Was it honestly the best? Cause I just wanna see the day. 부지런히 지나오.
어제들 속에 참 아름답게.
Yeah, the past was honestly the best. But my best is what comes next. I'm not playing up for sure.
그날을 향해 좀 이복적해.
You and I best, no one is yet to come.
Yeah, the past was honestly